Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 2nd, 2023. Israel's Independence Day. Comment: we are used to the phrase Israel's Independence Day. We are used to this holiday, and we celebrate it. In today's world, the word independence is heard everywhere: independent countries, independent republics, independent press, independent experts. All sides of conflicts, all parties, speak about it. The rights, the lefts, individuals, everyone. Besides, it is not just a word, but a very important concept in Kabbalah. My response: in Kabbalah, this concept is absolutely the opposite of what people, the world, society, countries, and nations understand. What does independence mean? Independence from what? Comment: this is the independence of my borders, independence from someone else. I want to live by myself, with my national independence, republican, state, and so on. If no one gets to me, this means that I am independent, I will build my own world. This is called independence. My response: but this is impossible because, in today's world, everyone depends on each other. So how can we be independent? If you are going to be independent, you should go into the woods and provide yourself with what you can. You are condemning yourself to terrible conditions. Question: you can say it in another way, so that no one dictates to me how to live. Is it also impossible? Answer: this is the same thing. No one will dictate anything to you, but how will you provide for yourself? How will you create and preserve this independence? It is completely unclear how this is possible. Today, a developing country in the world should be connected to all the countries by good mutual ties. Only in this case, can it feel comfortable for everyone, otherwise, it will feel crushed, limited, humiliated, and so on. Question: if it will be on its own? Answer: yes, but no one will give it such an opportunity. After all countries surround each other and want, like wolves in the forest, to snatch from others as much as they can. This is our normal, egoistic world. It cannot be any different. It was always like that, only we covered ourselves up a little. We did not reveal it enough in our egoism. Question: do you think there is no point in demanding independence in this world? It does not exist and will not exist. Answer: we can demand, but at the same time, we must demand from ourselves. This is the most important thing. If we observe such conditions, then there are good neighborly relations, peace, and mutual assistance between us, which are contrary to our inherent, natural quality to receive, conquer, and force peace. Comment: if we have a connection, then it is against someone. All this is vicious. My response: of course. Therefore, everything we create is only supposedly for the benefit of ourselves and to the detriment of others. There cannot be one instead of the other. Kabbalah speaks of independence where we rise above our egoism. Independence from our personal egoism. This is what real independence is, and then I only think about others. It is among the others, in good relations with others, which I create with all my capabilities, there I feel independent. Question: are you saying, only about others? Do I not think about myself at all? Answer: I do not, I am a consequence. I exist even today as a consequence of the attitude of everyone else toward me. Question: does it mean that I can only think about others, and then the consequence will be how they treat me, how I am, and so on? Answer: yes. Question: should my first thought not be, will they treat me well if I treat others well? Answer: I do not think this is the nature of a person and our society. Therefore, to say such beautiful phrases as, do not hit others, and they will not hit you, and so on does not work. Question: does what you say work? How is it possible in our world that I do not think about myself, but think about others? Publicly, for example. Answer: The fact is that, of course, it does not work anyway. If I treat others well, I will only give them an additional reason to grab me and bite off all sorts of pieces of me. Thus, the whole problem in human society is for it to transform itself from a pack of predators into an organized, mutual, voluntary, and kind community. Question: do you believe in this fiction? Answer: no, I do not believe it by any means, but I say it because in principle this is the only solution. Exactly when we realize that this is the only solution, albeit a fantastic and impossible one, then we suddenly can implement it. Question: from where? Answer: from above. We will be able to receive such a force from nature that will lift us above our egoism, and then it will be implemented. I will be above my nature, I will be above my thoughts, I will be above my decisions. How will it work out? It will work out because the second force of nature will be revealed, the quality of bestowal, connection, and love. Question: can you guarantee this to me? For example, I am a politician or an ordinary person, and I hear you. Can you guarantee me that? Answer: I can only tell you again in more detail so that you understand that there is no other way. Or we are going to perish and die in every generation. And in the future generation, the same fate is prepared for our descendants. Nothing is changing, except that the sufferings are becoming greater, and the possibility of solving them with the help of wars and deaths is becoming more and more terrible. Question: will I come to what you say through understanding this and feeling this? Answer: yes, in the end, we will understand. Moreover, this is a very scary decision because we will feel like we are being skinned. Because this is the opposite of me. But there is an opportunity to resolve this issue in a kind, peaceful way. It means to study our nature and study the force of nature that can help us change ourselves. Then we will be able to place ourselves under the influence of this good force of nature, and it will change us from little evil predators to big, kind creatures. Question: do you think we are getting closer to this understanding that we are little evil predators? Answer: we are getting closer. However, so far we are also approaching it in a bad way. But according to the way all kinds of positive and negative forces are being revealed more and more, especially in our generation, and we are given the opportunity to talk about it and somehow implement them, that is, there is hope that we will be able to formalize for ourselves, for our understanding, and for our knowledge of this system of nature's forces, and to understand how we can balance it and express the good force from it. I think we can do it. Otherwise, we will still come to this, but in a very long way, a terrible way of suffering. Question: it is said that the Messiah will come when the face of humanity will be like the muzzle of a dog. Does this apply to us, to our time? Answer: yes, it is people's awareness of their terrible, bestial nature. We are getting closer to this now. But we can see it from afar, and that is enough. We do not necessarily have to get right into the dog's den. It is enough just to see it and be scared. Comment: God grant that it will be so. From Cab TV's News with Michael Leitman, May 3, 2022. Israel, 75 years of war and peace. Question: we have reached a milestone date, 75 years of Israel's independence. It has been 75 years since the Jews found their home, 75 years of wars, 75 years of proving that this is our place, that we want to live here, and so on. These have not been easy years. How would you sum up this 75th anniversary? Answer: I would like us to understand that time is not working for us. We must admit that in the eyes of the world, despite all our attempts to present ourselves as the best, we still look like the worst. Comment: this is a paradox. We have huge achievements in medicine, in progress, in everything. My response: absolutely no one needs this from us. On the contrary, if we suffered, then maybe a certain number of non-Jews would love us. Or rather, they would feel sorry for us. But not in this way. Comment. The great Kabbalist Balhaas Sulam welcomed the creation of the State of Israel. My response, he hoped that this State of Israel would be the right one. Comment, what do you consider right? My response, it is when the people who will inhabit it will try to show the entire world what the purpose of a person's life on earth is. Question, you take it globally. What about the fact that a home was created for Jews who were persecuted and exterminated? Answer, what for? Question, to live at home, so that no one touches you. Is that not an idea? Answer, this is impossible for the Jews. We were kicked out of our home. We have never had our own home in general. The fact that we lived for several hundred years, even less, in the land of Israel in the past, says nothing. Question, how about the fact that temples were built here? Answer, so, what? We took the land from other nations and built them. Were there no nations here before that? Rashi wrote that the nations of the world would come and ask, why did you take the land away from the nations who lived here? And the Jews will have to answer. He asks, what can we answer? The entire earth belongs to the Creator. He gave it to other nations, and then took it from them and gave it to us. But this is correct if we follow His instructions, will, and desire. Yet, we do not do that. Therefore, there is no life for us, here and there will not be. Will not be. I say this to everyone and always. Comment, we started by saying that this is a holiday. But what you are saying does not sound festive. My response, this is a holiday because the people received the opportunity, as Balhaas Sulam says, to exist on their land and fulfill their mission before all of humanity. So, if we fulfill it, because this opportunity still exists, then everything will turn out right and everyone in the world will understand why Jews exist and what we should do. Question, what is the mission of the Jews, and why do they exist on this earth? Answer, the Jews exist in order to live on this earth in unity with each other, in such a unity that will be called absolute unity. When they will be able to show all other nations an example of how to actually live without wars, without violence, without mutual hatred. This is what we must show to the whole world. Then we will have the right to exist. Everyone will understand why we exist at all. And everyone will be happy to see that we exist on our own piece of land in order to translate all this into action and example. Question, then will everyone want this piece of land to exist, for Jews to live here, and for them to prosper? Answer, yes. In particular, our cousins the Arabs. Question, in that case, what is independence in light of what you are saying? Answer, independence is independence from our egoism, when we can rise above it and show this example to all the nations of the world how to live in connection, in friendship, and in mutuality. Everyone will want to follow it. This is our mission from above. Therefore, we are a special nation in this sense, and we cannot escape anywhere from fulfilling this mission. But it may take several thousand more years until we come to this. Question. Thousands of years. Answer, thousands. Has it been 2,000 years? Another 2,000 years will pass. It does not matter how long it takes, but we still will not be able to run away from fulfilling our mission. We can hope that over the next 2,000 years, we will understand something after all. Question, is there such a layer in us, that it cannot be penetrated? Answer, the egoistic layer is such that maybe the next 2,000 years will do something to us. Question, but anyway, one way or another, this is not our work, this is the work of the Creator. He might as well do it tomorrow. Why do we have to wait 2,000 years? Answer, we are obliged, we have to agree to this job. We must wait for such a revolution in ourselves when we want to be not competing with each other but loving each other, to love your neighbor as yourself and be able to convey this as an example to all other nations of the world. Comment, you have always said that a good businessman is a strategist, he looks forward to many years. A bad businessman wants to quickly grab something right now, and that is it. You are such a businessman that you are looking forward to 2,000 years. You are engaged in this, you are disseminating this, and at the same time, you are saying that this is my response. I live in this every day with the hope that after some time, I am not saying 2,000 years, but as we understand, not yet today, the people will begin to change. Comment. And for this, you are ready to keep saying it today and repeating it. My response, in order for this to begin to be implemented in a few thousand years. Question, but are you still an optimist? Answer, I am not an optimist. I say that this is the law of nature, and we will still be obliged to implement it. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, April 20, 2023. We are all lonely whales. In the news, New Scientist, in 1989, the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Massachusetts detected an unknown sonic presence at 52 Hz. It was initially thought to be from a submarine, but marine biologist William Watkins later determined that it was the sonar signature of a whale, which he gave the nickname 52. It is an unusually high frequency for whale vocalizations, and Watkins was intrigued enough to search for 52 until his death in 2004. But despite picking up 52's call every year, Watkins never found the mysterious whale. Why 52 calls at this frequency is also a mystery. The whale's species hasn't been confirmed, and it is possible that it is the only one of its kind in the ocean. The one thing we do know is that 52 is almost certainly a he. Male whales do the singing. The reason for 52's presumed loneliness has nothing to do with the fact that he has always been detected swimming alone. Instead, it is because the unique frequency of his call means that other whales can't understand to respond. In our increasingly connected world where contact and interaction is only the click of a button away, the fact that so many people still report feeling lonely makes it easy to identify with 52's situation. There is something deeply affecting about a creature as intelligent and social as we know whales to be, swimming the vast ocean, year after year, never having any proper contact with another of its kind. My response, in place of humanity, I would still start to get in some kind of contact with it. If the frequency at which it talks or wants to talk is known, then we have no problem creating such a device. Question, do you think it wants to communicate? Answer, undoubtedly. But it scares other whales away with its higher frequency. Question, and what should we, such lonely whales that live in this world and exist in this loneliness, do? Now a lot of people have gone to live in huts in the forest somewhere in the taiga and have been living there for 20 to 30 years. This is how people live. Answer, it is their choice, and I would not say that it is bad. They still find themselves there. Through communication with themselves, they communicate with nature. Perhaps even with the Creator. It is better than communicating with people. Question, especially in our time? Answer, of course. If they do not feel that they have a special goal, a mission, that obligates them to be in the world among people, then they feel very good. I think that, in principle, they find themselves there. Question, and if you had a choice, would you go somewhere? Answer, undoubtedly. Question, would you lock yourself in a room? Answer, undoubtedly. I am trying to do that anyway. Although this is all unsuccessful. But I still move away from people, from the world, as much as I can. Question, is it possible to create a world in solitude? Is it possible to love loneliness? Is it possible to be in it all the time? Answer, if a person rises, really rises, then he feels he is alone, he is lonely. This is a wonderful state. But at the same time he feels himself in connection with the Creator. Question, still a person advances to this? Answer, yes. This is the lone whale. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, June 16, 2022. Build your spiritual future. Question: do you feel how much a person is invested in what is given to him? Answer: first, participate in everything the main group does. Secondly, it is necessary to do internal work, which, in principle, the main group does and constantly talks about. Do all this and you will advance forward. How much to invest? Invest and you will see. When you work together with everyone, you gradually get involved in a common spiritual work, you will not go anywhere. So it goes. Question: do you feel how much a person's investment is to his maximum or not? Answer: what is the difference? It is his own business. What kind of test can there be? He is building his spiritual future with this. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. What to expect from Kabbalah. December 22, 2012. Out of balance. Comment: from time to time there are reports in the press that thousands of birds, fish, or other animals are dying all over the world. My response: such reports appear only when it is clearly happening in front of people's eyes, but in fact, we are in the state of a huge, terrible catastrophe. This is not just an ecological disaster, but a natural one where we will have nothing to eat. Not only will there be no money to buy something, printing it is not a problem, you will not be able to feed anyone. There will be food riots, epidemics, a kind of 10 Egyptian plagues, if we do not start to change ourselves. Mankind, with its persistent unwillingness to pay attention to what nature requires of us, causes increasingly harsh, severe forces, like a child who does not want to listen to what he is told. Eventually, he will be forced. But with what methods? As long as they don't give him a slap, it doesn't matter. Let's live somehow without it. You can't do anything. And when the time comes that we are no longer able to do anything, airports will stop, communication will disappear, there will be no normal water. We see what is happening. I don't want to scare anyone. I'm just stating that all this suggests that we are out of complete balance with nature. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. Mass death January 9, 2011. Life should be much simpler. Question: Nestia writes, one day the lights went off and I called a neighbor who had two children and invited her to visit me. We were sitting and talking at the table with candles burning with the children were nearby. As soon as the lights came back on, the children ran and turned on the TV, and we became silent. What do you think about this feeling of happiness that was there and then was suddenly gone? Answer: yes, it is gone because it presses. But it has always been so. Recall past times, even centuries ago. Question: how can we feel such happiness now? Is it possible in the light, with modern technology, progress, and all this or not? Answer: no. With present life, the way of life, its pace, and everything else that exists, we cannot make ourselves happy. We give in to what we have created, and it is killing us. Question: I would say that we are bought. Do you think it is not necessary to create or still move toward the goal, toward what I want to be? Answer: to move toward the goal, you just need to live in a much simpler way, not to wait until nature, society, or the Creator crush us, but do it, perhaps reasonably and gradually, somehow by yourself. Question: do you have an idea of how a person should do it? Answer: it will not work to turn off the lights. It will not work to diminish anything. There are too many interested egoists who will still produce all sorts of rubbish and make all sorts of dull productions on screens, anything possible. All this needs a very strong push and revelation of evil in order to correct it. How can we uncover this evil? By a serious war? Question: in whom will it reveal itself? In consumers or in those who push everything into a consumer? Answer: it is required from both sides. Both from producers and consumers. Question: so that it is suddenly revealed that this is all evil? Answer, that this is the end. You cannot go any further, that is it. There must be an uprising. Let us make the world simpler, more understandable, more comfortable, and most importantly, calmer. In such a world we will be able to clarify in ourselves what we are for, why, and what we should come to. Question, and the last question, what will we understand in this case, as you said? What will we understand then? Answer, we will understand that the main thing is what a person desires in this world. So that he clarifies it, but very seriously, not halfway. And then he will achieve this goal. Question, so do you put it this way, I need to get rid of all this noise and very, very quietly focus on what I want? Answer, yes. Question, is that all? And what will he understand? What he wants? Answer, he will understand the meaning of life, the most important thing that he has. Question, what is it in? Answer, the meaning of life is in attaining the meaning of life. Question, it is like a wheel, the meaning of life is attaining the meaning of life. Is there some kind of eternity in this, in what you are saying? Answer, of course. It is absoluteness, eternity, perfection, and infinity. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, February 14, 2022. Eternal happiness. Question, what is happiness? Answer, happiness is the feeling one has at the moment of achieving a dream. It is a contact with a dream or at least with something one desires. In corporeal life, a person comes into contact with various pleasures, but he is still unhappy because these contacts bring death. They instantly disappear. They are temporary because everything ends. At the end of everything there is death, hopelessness, and disappearance. Therefore, as the saying goes, there is no happiness in life. And indeed it is so because life has its limits. Happiness is when you come in contact with a dream. It is with you, and it is eternal. There can be no happiness if it is transient. Therefore our world is inherently flawed. Question, is the attainment of the first degree of the spiritual world already attainment of happiness? Answer, it is the attainment of eternity and perfection. Even if it is not yet complete, you understand that you are entering this degree. Then you already know where you are going, and you already have different ideas about the world, the universe, and existence. You understand that you are dealing with eternity, perfection, infinite fulfillment, infinite knowledge, and that whatever you want, you will be able to obtain. From CapTV's I Got a Call. Happiness, January 18, 2011. New Life 159. The Ten Commandments, Part 2.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamazoz. Hello. And time after time, what we're trying to learn from Dr. Leitman is, how can we build our life here in the Israeli society so that we'll all be as one big warm society, like a family? This is what we'd like to learn. How can we build such a society together, a society that will be as a family? And in order to understand this vision, and in order to understand what does it exactly mean to be as one family, this is something that we examine each time from a different angle, and this is how gradually we come to feel. What does it mean to be as a family? And today what we'd like to talk about is, what does it mean to be as one family in the Israeli society based on one of the most ancient Jewish symbols, the Ten Commandments? Nitza, please.
Yeah, to this day, the Ten Commandments are considered to be the superior constitution of the Jewish people. Whether we're able to keep them or not, it's something that we truly appreciate. And these are certain social norms that we really appreciate. And so today we'd like to talk to you a bit about the Ten Commandments from your perspective and to understand how do these commandments relate to the vision of becoming one family. As we already understand, or as we've already heard, or we need to repeat it, our nation, our people, is not a people or a nation like any other nation that united in a natural way, being tribes that live together in some specific place, each of them, then over time, over an extended period of time, they became a nation. And we see that these tribes actually, practically until the final stages of history, they were not organized amongst themselves. Take Germany, for example. Only 150 years ago, it was still tribes, made up of tribes. There were many, many different tribes that then in 1860, I think, they decided to unite into a single country. 1860. It's 150 years ago. It's nothing. And it's no wonder. And also in many other countries, we see the difference between the North and the South, for example, like in Italy, that it's like two different nations. And in other countries, too, it's very much felt in Russia, according to the different areas where there are vast distances that determine that as well. But the method for all of them was simple. Natural connection, meaning they live in the place, they get married, they have customs, traditions, the climate, the processes that they go through, and this is how people unite into what we call a nation. We never had something like that, and by nature, it's something that does not exist in us. This natural approach, trend, tendency, but our connection, us connecting into a nation, was something artificial. Artificial, meaning that it depends on our own effort. Not that nature directs us to be together and builds the nation, but we ourselves needed to build ourselves as a nation. And where do the Ten Commandments come in here in this artificial connection? The Ten Commandments are actually the condition for uniting into a nation. And so specifically here we see in a very clear manner, in a very conspicuous way, that if you accept it, then you become a nation by keeping these, meeting these conditions called the Ten Commandments, the Ten Conditions. And if you don't, then you do not become a nation. That's the uniqueness you're talking about in our creation, our turning into a nation. Yes. So, as the Israeli nation, we have these Ten Conditions set before us, the Ten Commandments, that if we keep them, then we're considered to be the people or nation of Israel. Yes. Because, first of all, the great big ego becomes revealed, which we call the Egyptian exile, that we all fall into the ego, and we discover that we can't be together, that we're strangers, that we're different, that we hate each other. We're talking about the state of Mount Sinai here, literally meaning the mountain of hate, that hate is becoming, is being revealed between us, between all people. Slander, criticism, no need to come closer to each other, competitiveness, disregard, disrespect, scorny, different denominations, these are like this and those are like that, and all that inside of the people of Israel. Yes. And this is what you call the Egyptian exile.
Yeah. This what we got as the revelation of our ego that acts in different such ways until it reaches a certain peak, which is Mount Sinai. That symbolizes what? That symbolizes the mutual mountain of hatred that we discover toward each other, on the one hand. On the other hand, we understand and feel that we have an opportunity to connect, to build the nation. And this is with the help of the leader, Moses, that works in us, on us, leading us to a certain point of connection. And the condition, you want it, please, you don't, then you don't. And this the place of decision. And this place, called the state of Mount Sinai, we get a kind of elation from our connection, a mutual feeling in which we feel that it's worthwhile to connect, that we reach a special kind of inspiration, that everyone feels how much the connection can give us a feeling of a new life on a new level, above this corporeality, that by it we acquire in thought and in desire and in our approach to life, we feel that rising above the bodily life, animate life, we're starting to feel this general relation that dwells among us, the love, the connection, the mutuality, the mutual responsibility. And this is what we feel as the revelation of the upper force, the mutual connection. And in this mutual connection, we feel something superior, something exalted, something special that's above our bodies. This degree that we're starting to feel now in our connection, it is actually a higher degree called Adam, the speaking degree, that we start thinking about the uniqueness that is becoming revealed among us, that it is above the bodies, so much so that if I participate with everyone, I'm not concerned with myself, I'm concerned with others, so much so that I forget about myself. My body as if disappears from my sensation. I live among everyone. It means that I pass, cross from this psychological feeling of life and death. I acquire a state that's eternal. And the force that I feel that dwells among us, the Creator, the force of nature, Elohim, Creator, and Gematria equals nature. It starts dwelling among us, and it really starts governing us. If we're in this kind of consent, and then this is what we live from. We live from Him. Meaning, we already live in something that we ourselves have created on the one hand, but by this connection, we have discovered the inner force of nature, a deeper level, higher level, which is the basis of creation. We start feeling the system, the mechanism, that all of creation is interconnected between all of its parts this way. And this feeling, now for us, is, how to put it, it attracts us. It's our purpose to enter it, to increase it. Even though that the hate is revealed every time, again and again, and all the criticism against each other and collisions, but we start understanding that all of these disturbances are in order to show us where else do we need to add love, further participation and connection. And then we discover the helpmate against him, that all the ego that is revealed, it's revealed as our friend. It's revealed as the scrutiny of those places in which we can add love
and reach mutual influence, mutual love, to be brothers, to be connected. Where is the place of the Ten Commandments here? Just one more question before that, because I, for the very first time, understood now that the state of Mount Sinai isn't the complete connection yet, but it's only a kind of taste that we were given as a nation in order for us to hold it in our memory, kind of. How does it feel to be connected? True, it's not the connection itself yet, and it's not because we excelled in anything. It is temporary for one moment. So that process, that effort, it's like even we in our life, in order to know that we want to achieve a certain goal, well, we need to get a certain feeling from it. Yeah, yeah, a bit of projection from it. So this is what it was. Yes. And then, after the taste, the Ten Commandments. Right. When we start feeling this general force that dwells among us, the general connection, the mutuality, that I'm in everyone and that everyone's in me, that we're really one body, one heart. In this one heart, I discover the rules of how do we act together in one system. What are the laws of the system? So the laws of the system are such that, first of all, we need to discover and keep this one force that then dwells in us called Creator, that there is none else besides Him, but He is one and fulfills the whole of creation, sustains the whole of creation, connects all of its parts together. There is none else besides Him, and He is the good that does good. This is revealed to us, and on our part, from now on, it is our obligation to keep Him this way and aspire to Him, and to all the time be in the direction of revealing Him between us, that in the revelation of this feeling you rise above your ego, which is called that the Creator has delivered you from Egypt. The land of Egypt. Land is desire, Egypt egoistic. Meaning that in this revelation, only if you feel it, if you reveal it from your effort, then it raises you from the ego. This is the initial condition. After you're in that, you have other conditions too of how to strengthen the connection. They're all on and all in order to bring you to eternal and perfect love, whole love. And in that exist all the rest of the commandments, meaning the rules or laws that you need to strengthen in particular in different ways. Because all in all, your egoistic desire is divided into 10 parts or 10 levels. And you give each level a special correction, a special connection with others, so that all in all, you will be connected with everyone without any difference in anything. So I'd like to ask about the first one. The first commandment says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Right, but then you feel how much the ego enslaved you. How much you were a slave to the ego, and you lived as a beast. The despicable way in which the ego enslaved you, exploited you, and all that in order for you now to start discerning what does it really mean to live inside of Egypt, inside of that ego. Egypt is a symbol. Yeah, of what exactly? A symbol of you being having egoistic concerns. What do you mean? That I want to exploit the entire world to my own benefit. So why am I a slave to it? Don't you feel it? Right, but what's the connection? If I want to exploit someone else, then why am I the slave? Because then a person does everything in order to satisfy this desire, satiate it. and he dedicates his entire life to it instead of rising to the next degree of eternity, wholeness, perfection, coming out of the beast onto the level of man. Instead of that, he's immersed inside this egoistic feeling that buries him. He starts differentiating that previously he was taking care of a beast that does not belong to him. He starts disconnecting from his beast, from his body, and everything that has to do with this world. World meaning the environment that I see around my body that exists. And instead of that, now I want to rise above it all. I want to disconnect. I want to shift from paying attention to the body and to everything that's related to it, to a life that's related in everything to a higher eternal degree, to spirit, to our connection. So much so that I wish to disconnect from the body as if I don't feel the life outside my body. So, this commandment is the very first commandment that the people of Israel receive. They come out of their egoistic state, which we call Egypt, the land of Egypt, which is a status of egoistic relations between people. And then, when they have a taste of what does it mean to be connected in mutual love, which is the revelation that they feel in the state of Mount Sinai, they receive this first commandment, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. What does it mean as the first commandment in relation to their connection? If you connect together by each of you disconnecting from himself, you start feeling the general force that dwells among you. And this Ruach, this spirit, is called Creator. And then this Ruach that you're adhered to, you start feeling in it a force that draws you to an egoistic feeling of self-love, to the animate level, the degree of a beast, bodily love, from all of that to spiritual love. From this to that. Yeah. You feel that you come out of your body and rise to a degree called the soul, which is the general field of connection, of love between everyone. Yes. The one heart that you start to feel where your new thoughts and desires are, this general heart, this general field, is called the soul. So that's called the Israeli soul. The general soul. There are no other souls. That's called the soul. There's no particular soul, but it's all one soul. And then comes the second commandment that says, you shall have no other gods before me. Meaning what? That don't imagine anything to yourself, but that which you attain in practice, this is the upper force that dwells among you. Don't imagine anything. Don't think that there is something beyond your imagination and in some other way, but only in the mutual connection, through the mutual integration that you come to. This is the Creator. This is the upper nature. This is what you need to be drawn to Him, and not to try and imagine, make any intellectual effort, etc., etc., to try and depict any other picture, any other form, any other idol, any other thing, but only that which you reveal in the connection between people. Meaning the only thing that you're obliged to is make a heartly effort from the heart, from the mind that next to the heart, to make an effort to connect with the others and in the connection with the others to reveal in practice, really, truly in practice, not in imagination, but in practice to reveal the general force that dwells among everyone. This is your upper force, this is your Creator. Meaning nature, the upper nature. What is idolatry then? Only when you bow to some idol, or does it have a different meaning? Idolatry means that you think that there are other forces that act in reality besides this force that you're revealing now. That previously it was concealed, hidden, and now you reveal that it is the only force, the general force, the force that governs the whole of reality. And its essence being what? Connection between everyone, mutual connection, harmony between all parts that are equal, similar, that are in equivalence, equality, mutuality, connection, each above his own ego, in general partnership that's whole and complete. And then what's revealed is, on this condition that you connect this way, is the force that dwells in them, the general upper force that fulfills them. That all in all, we make an effort to be above the ego. We don't have the strength. But when we rise above the ego and want to connect with one another, then it becomes revealed. We keep a certain condition on our part. Each of us needs to rise above himself and to connect with others. Once we make the effort to connect between us, then he appears in us, in these efforts. We build, like, something to lean on, a place for his revelation. This place is called the Malchut, or the Shekhinah, divinity, and then this force is revealed in it, and is called the Shochen, the dweller. In Israeli society today, you know, people worship money, worship status. There is what to overcome. That's also considered idolatry? Of course. Anything that is not for the sake of the revelation of the Creator among us is idolatry. And so it says about it, you shall have no other gods before me. I wanted to ask, maybe it's not specifically about this commandment, but still, every time we talk about connection and harmony, all in all, what we do is that we identify with nature. Right, nature is entirely love, that's what I heard you say. How is that related to the upper force, that you'll have no other gods before me? Well, the easiest is to depict it as follows, that everything really is in harmony, in a whole and perfect way. And only we, due to our egoistic approach, don't see it, and instead of it, see a corrupted world. We live in a reality that we build, which is a corrupted world. Suppose we're living in some beautiful country, beautiful city and everything, but inside our apartment, in our family, it's really unbearable. You're smiling. Unfortunately, it happens in many families. But it's a very clear example, right? And this is how we are in relation to reality. And we don't know that reality is all beautiful and great or harmonious and whole and perfect and great. But we've built because of our egos, such relations in the family that the only thing we do all life long is curse it. So, the third commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does it mean? It means that you need to first of all talk about the attainment of this degree, the attainment of the Creator, the full, whole and complete connection between you, the whole and complete love between you. This is what you need to aspire for through actions that precisely lead you to that and not to anything else. And not to imagine to yourself any other place, but only connection. And instead of that, not perform any and all the more physical actions, that is if you can reach that degree by what you do with your hands and legs. The only way to reach it is through your inner effort, only by starting to treat others differently. And then The actions follow the thoughts that correctly lead you to strengthen the thought. And the hearts follow the actions, these actions. Meaning, you very clearly set the goal before you, and only afterwards do you perform actions towards it in corporeality and in spirituality. And what is the goal? Only to reveal the upper force that dwells among you within your infrastructure of love. Meaning, I try to approach everyone with an attitude of love. I see that maybe I can't, so I make an effort together with everyone. And my inclination to reveal that upper force that needs to dwell among us, in this inclination, I as if ask, as if pray, I want for him to appear, I want for him to correct me, to change me. And then it appears and works on me in return, because we are in the right, proper system. Like with that example in the broken family, I leave my apartment and I ask others, neighbors, the social workers, advisors, social systems, help me build something good in my family, because otherwise we're eating each other alive. It's really like it's written, a man's enemies are the members of his own household. I want to improve the situation, make it better. What can I do? My recognition of the nature that I reveal a bit. I reveal it and, oh, how beautiful it is, radiating, how I immediately love everyone. How this force really makes me dissolve among everyone. So I want for this force to work on me. It means that by my own effort, I make a prayer. Prayer is the work in the heart, that I exert my heart to be that way toward everyone. And then, opposite that, works that force, because it is the basis of reality. It is the general force of nature. Starting with the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments. And not to do anything else, and not to want anything else, and not to imagine to yourself that you're building the next degree, the degree of love, which is the basis of the entire Torah, that you do it by certain actions, other actions in this world. But only in this direct trajectory toward connection. When you say degree, it means that there's a certain thing called connection, and there are different levels to this connection in the process. Well, now too, we're in a certain kind of connection, only an incorrect connection. So when you say the next degree, it means that there's a certain level of connection. Yes, mutual connection, as opposed to how it is now. The next commandment is remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Meaning that in the corrections that we need to go through, corrections meaning what? Meaning that instead of using everything to the benefit of my ego, I use my ego to the benefit of others. The other way around. I all the time think about myself, right? Now, I was given a condition that in all of my options, in intellect, in emotion, in strength, in everything that I learned, in everything that I can, I act to the benefit of others. I put myself at their service. And this means that you've corrected yourself. Yes. So, when we reach these corrections, we reach a state where all in all, after such stages, efforts of correction that are called degrees, because every time we connect more upon a greater ego, we connect even more. An even greater ego, we connect even more. We cover all the crimes that we reveal with love. And eventually, we reach a state where we've finished using our entire ego. We've finished realizing it. and it is entirely corrected and bestowed in love, connection. And then we discover the upper fours fully and completely, and that's called the day of Sabbath. So, in all of my work, I need to be in this direction, toward this state. And I know that it exists somewhat, and also in every particular correction of mine that I make. I also have like a kind of day of Sabbath, a kind of next world. And the next world is called that final corrected state. So, also, on the way, suppose I got a burdening of the heart, 10 kilos of ego, and I start working with it, and by connecting with everyone, actually contributing it all to them, helping, embracing them. And so I made this effort with everyone in general. And then we reach a state where on this degree we've reached the revelation of the force among us, the force of love, the godly force, so to speak, and that's called the day of Sabbath. Well, it sounds like weightlifting. You exercise and exercise, and if you want to grow, you add more weight and some more weight. It's like the burdening of the ego. So when you say that you get more ego, then I feel coolness, I feel aloof, there's you and there's me, and then we're no longer connected in this mutual common heart. But then I make an effort, I try to raise these 10 kilograms like a weightlifter, and if I made it, that's called the day of Sabbath and the general heart. Yeah, but on the way, you need help from others, from the environment, for it to work on you, awaken you, maybe help you lift these weights that you're included with them. But all in all, so it's not only a personal process, but it's something more social and only. So we, as an Israeli society, all of us together, we're like that weightlifter that get a burden of another 10 kilograms. That's why the day of Sabbath comes for everyone together. It's not particularly for you or for him, etc. So when it says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, it means that we'll always set this date as our goal, even though that it's hard to lift these 10 kilos now. And therefore, all the corrections are called the first day to the Sabbath, second day to the Sabbath. Everything is in relation to the Sabbath. Okay, next commandment. And pay attention that a day is according to how the earth turns, a month is according to how the moon is, a year is how earth circles the sun, but Sabbath doesn't exist in reality. Why? Because it's up to us. It's unrelated to the corporeal world, but to the spiritual one. And when you reach it, then it exists. The division into the 6 weeks days comes from the efforts of people to be connected together and to reach this kind of state called Sabbath, which is the love. Yeah. Called Neshama Yetera, because then you get the revelation of godliness and the state in which you've corrected yourself. We will talk about this in and of itself. Our next commandment, the fifth one, honor your father and your mother. Yes, meaning that. Well, it's a bit harder in the state of relations between us, but those systems that we discover now as psychology, as a psychological connection, there we discover different forces, different systems that help us to connect, that help us to ascend, that explain to us that even if we can't, we're included in these systems, and they, like an elevator, correct us by us becoming included in them, annulling our ego, and by that getting help from them. These systems that come from nature, that are intended to correct us and help us are called Abba and Ima, mother and father. Honor your father and your mother. Why do you need to tell that to a person? Is it not natural? To honor means that you elevate them above yourself. You accept them as greater. Is it not natural? No. They took care of me for 20 years. They gave me everything. No, no. That's corporeally. Here we're talking about more exalted systems. I'm on a certain egoistic level. And suppose on a certain altruistic level of giving. Wait, I kind of lost you. I'm also on a certain degree. You are an individual in the society that wants to keep this fifth commandment of honor your father and your mother so that you may live long. I'm in a certain state. You being who? The one who wants to connect with others on a spiritual level. And in this state, I feel helpless, that I have no strength, I'm disoriented, I need guidance, I need education. That's what it's called. And then I discover that above me, there's a system that is intended to take care of me. And we study in the wisdom of Kabbalah that these systems were built before me, and then I, in return, rise back to them, but that's in brackets. So, when I discover these aiding systems, I call them Abba and Ima, mother and father, because I discovered that I was born from them, that they gave birth to me, and the cascading from above down, we kind of lost you. In short, in my connection to others, I reveal that there's a special system, higher system here, that in this system, that I can get help from the system. What is this system called Abba and Ima, mother and father, in relation to my state? It's a higher degree. I too will rise to their degree, and then I will be as a mother and father. But in the meantime, the system is above me. Again, sorry. All of us are in a certain connection. And we need to now make an effort in order to connect, like the example with the weightlifting. We got an additional weight and we don't know how to lift it. What do I do? But we discover, not just the connection between us, but we discover an even higher degree on which we need to be connected and how we need to be connected. It's like our future state, right? When we'll be able to overcome this extra weight and again we'll reach that love. Yeah. This future state is called mother and father in relation to us, Abba Veima. How can we use this future state now in our current situation? How? If we look at that degree of Abba Veima, mother and father, it's bestowal that I can't even imagine that it's possible at all. What do you mean by bestowal? The connection between them, mutual bestowal. Connection, love, concession. Something that I look at them and, no, that's not for me. If you, what does it say there? If you honor them, you say, but it's so good. I'd really want to be in that. In my fantasy, I'll do what they say. That's called to honor. I'll do what they say. Only that it helps me. I yield toward what they say. That's called that they teach me. Like a baby that naturally he listens to mom and dad. Because they're grown-ups, they know, they understand, they're wise, that's what he feels. We need to make an effort. An effort in order to accept them as great. In order to accept them as our caretakers. If we make a small effort, then this system, this aiding system, starts taking care of us, starts elevating us to their degree, starts connecting us. To take care of us, meaning what? That it starts connecting us more forcefully. And then they as if teach us. It's like a trainer that comes to that weightlifter and says, not only that, they also give me strength. They tell me, look how we connect. They take everyone together saying, try to connect this way and try to connect that way. Concede this, concede that, increase this. Like you're taught in life, like an educator, yeah? And then you get both the intellect and the emotion and the strength. They also feed you, like a mom and dad. They give you life. Life includes intellect, emotion, strength, everything that you get from them. Meaning, this aiding system is necessary, like in our world. Otherwise, we can't grow. But it's on condition. In our world, you annul yourself toward them. Here you are an element toward them to honor. Yes, because you're commanded to. Commanded meaning what? That it's against your ego. You need to make an effort. And this effort you make in connection together with everyone, that you tell everyone we need to honor this state, respect this state where we'll be even more connected, even more tightly together. Let's try and do it. This is what it means to use the upper system called Abba Vima, Mother and Father. The next five commandments are really between man and his friend, and the sixth commandment says, you shall not murder. Everything that happens here obviously doesn't talk about corporeal matters, but it's all about the relations between us, meaning not to cut off any possible connection with anyone, to always judge a person to a scale of merit, to always see in everyone the willingness to connect, even though that you see on the person on the outside that he is the opposite, that he hates you, he doesn't understand, and he can't. Still, don't cut off the connection with him and give him the possibility through you to receive life, a new spirit. That's called not to murder. Murder means that you cut off his connection to the light of life, to this air. There's this saying, character assassination. It's like you murder a person's character, his psyche, his soul. Yeah, for us it means to kill the man in us. Man, Adam in Hebrew, comes from the word domeh, similar to the creator. We're not talking about the beast here, about the animate body. Also, you shall not steal. Here too, it could be something particular that I steal, but I need to see that I'm stealing from the entire system. That if I start using my will to receive, that's theft. And theft, as it's explained, it's not only in that, but if I'm in a system, then the theft isn't only in that I steal from the system, but that I don't add to the system as much as I can in every given moment. That is also theft. That's theft. If I need to participate with everyone, to put in my exertion, and I'm capable of doing it according to all parameters and I'm not doing it, then I steal from everyone. I don't add. I don't give them my participation, so it means that I steal from everyone. And in our world, it's not so. In our world, if I take it into my own authority, and here it's enough that I don't add to the authority of the collective, because that's all that there is, the authority of the many. This sounds revolutionary. You're saying that if we want to build a society that will really be in connection and love like one family, there's this commandment, the eighth one, Do not steal. You shall not steal, right? You shall not steal from society. Meaning what? That's what I'm asking. Because you gave something new here. New, yes, but not according to our conditions. If you can elaborate. If we're talking about love, one family, yeah. Everyone needs to add? Yes, whatever they can, obviously. Good. You made money. Doing your job. You went and spent it in a casino. Did you steal from your family? Yes, I did. Yeah, but there is something even heavier here. You can say, you know, hey, it's mine. Well, that's easy, you know, but I understood something even more acute. Look what I understood. We're a society. All of us want to be as one man and one heart. Now, suppose you have certain skills from nature, she got other talents, I got certain talents, etc., etc. Now, you're saying not to steal doesn't only mean to take something that's not allowed to take. That's basic. You're saying furthermore that if you don't put in everything that you can according to the talents or skills that you got from nature, it means that you're stealing from this general field of ours, which is the family. Yeah? So this, in relation to the condition of love, that's how it is. So this is what it means not to steal fully. Not to steal means you need to contribute whatever you can from your uniqueness to our one society. You need to be 100% in giving. 1% less, you're stealing. I see that Nitsa skipped over do not commit adultery. What about that? You shall not commit adultery means that you begin to use. Well, it's a problem to explain without the internality of things, but that you will not prefer to use certain desires over other desires, but you need to participate with all your inner strength, ability to bestow, to give in the way that it is revealed in you without what's in it for you. So do not commit adultery. It's about another man's wife. Another man's wife, these are your desires. So if we're a society that wants to be in connection, I'm not talking about stealing from someone by some false pretense or his status or something, but in the mutual connection between us, I need to always connect to others in a way that I fulfill their desires to my full ability, and I do not choose these and these and those, but all works according to my ability to fulfill them. It's hard to explain. Okay, again. We're a society. We want to connect to be as one. In this society, there are small units that are called a couple. There's one couple, another couple. I have a couple. She has a couple. Do not commit adultery. It means that I can't take someone else's wife because I can't fulfill her. According to spiritual laws, what do you mean by spiritual laws? Well, what we're talking about now, about connection and love. According to spiritual laws, in spiritual laws, forbidden means impossible. Write this down as a great rule, meaning that those deficiencies that are revealed to me that I can correct and fulfill, that's called a woman, my wife. Again, you are part of our society, you have a wife, she has a husband, I have a wife. What does it mean? Do not commit adultery. Who's my wife right now? On every degree, it's a different nukva, a different female. Doesn't matter. But the wife, it's not the body living next to me. A woman in spirituality are all of those desires that I need to connect to and correct my attitude toward them in order to fulfill them. The woman is called a nukva, meaning a deficiency, a puncture. And all of these deficiencies are ready in order for me to fulfill them as a man. I don't understand the picture. I am a part of the system now, of this society. Yeah. In this system, there are several places that I can correct, fulfill them. In my relation towards them, and to bring fulfillment to them through me. That's called my nukva, my woman now. If I work in order to fulfill them, this is my work, I do it. I, by connecting to them and filling them, I, so-called, have children, make the future states of our connection. If I reveal deficiencies that are not related to me as a man in that system, it's forbidden for me to connect to them, even though that I see them as available and that they can bring some kind of elation or excellence or something. I need to examine exactly what is related to my ability in terms of correction and fulfillment. And those deficiencies that are revealed, they're related to some other work. They belong to some other kind of work, maybe me on my next degree or to someone else. But that means that it is as if forbidden for you to be with someone else's wife. But in spirituality, forbidden means that it's impossible. And besides, why is it a prohibition that if you were to connect to them, then in spirituality, you wouldn't have reached mutual work, you wouldn't have reached contact, you wouldn't have reached fulfillment, because it's not on the same frequency, it's not the same deficiencies that you're going to work with. So, if we take the Israeli society, for example, and we want to build a society that will be in love and connection, then what does it mean, do not commit adultery? That I need to reveal in you deficiencies that I can fulfill on this current degree and fulfill only them and not touch others. Right. Okay, next commandment. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. The 9th one. Yeah. What is that? Well, false testimony. These are big things. False testimony means that both for myself and for others, let's keep it simple, both for myself and for others, I am as a witness, I testify, I'm as a participant, as a partner in whatever happens with everyone. If in some place, in someone, in this system, there happens some kind of mishap, it happened because of me. Because you gave false testimony, because I caused it to happen. This is how I need to see it. And what is false testimony? You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, because you, by allowing these things to happen, you participated in a lie. You participated in it incorrectly. Suppose if there's something negative going on in our society nowadays, then I personally need to take as a responsibility for it. Yeah. That there's violence or different other bad things, I'm responsible. Yes. Okay, the last commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Why? How come? It's not only don't take it, it means don't covet it. Don't think about taking it from someone. Right. The correction after all the commandments in general is that you rise above your entire egoistic desire, and in general, this is the last sphira that includes in it all the rest of the previous ones, meaning gathers them, sustains them together, and this is what happens. By this, you complete your entire correction on the current degree. but it seems the hardest. Do not covet, meaning not even to want to take something from someone. Not don't take, don't even think about it. What can I tell you? That it's by the screen and reflected light from the Malchut that this what happened. Oh, now it's clear. But no, seriously, don't covet. What does it mean? You don't allow me to talk in terms that the public doesn't understand, so I'm limited. But still, what does it mean not to covet? To reach such corrections in me that not in action, not in preparation, not in thought, and that I won't even get some kind of an awakening to use my vessels of reception in whatever happens in the system of my relations with everyone, meaning so much so that no matter what's revealed, regardless what, in advance, I'm ready not to reveal an egoistic attitude towards it. Why is that important? Because by this we complete the current degree and prepare ourselves for the next degree, and that's why it includes everything, this commandment, and prepares us for ascent. So on every degree, wherever we work on our connection, we go over these Ten Commandments every time again and again. Yes, only on the following degree. These Ten Commandments include all the corrections in our 613 desires. You can divide the Ten Commandments into the 613 desires. Where is each of them and all of them together? The Zohar does it. Last question. We want to build a new society here in Israel that will be like one family. This is our vision. And today we got to know the Ten Commandments. Can you please sum up how do you see the Ten Commandments in this one family? So again, what are we coming down to? To the rule of love another as yourself. You don't need to study the Ten Commandments. Don't make special courses that every time you'll teach about this or that. It's all worthless. Once we're headed toward connection, with the help of our courses, our teaching, which are based on the foundations of the wisdom of Kabbalah, or the wisdom of connection, the mutual guarantee, our vut, we reveal all of these rules called the Ten Commandments and reach their realization where we're all connected. We reveal the Creator, we reach the complete and eternal world, and we live in it. And our beast is somewhere back there on the previous degree, and we don't at all feel that we have left it. Just like I, on my animate level, like when I cut off my hair and I don't feel any loss as a result or pain, the very same way when I rise to that degree, I don't even feel when my body dies, so much so, because I already live on this upper level called Adam, man. Adam is one. I understand that we all need to become like one family. One Adam, one man, is all of us together. All of us together is the image of the one man, this general system that we've connected out of our desires, out of our intentions. Together is called Adam, meaning being similar to the upper force, the Creator that is revealed. And that's how we live. This is the degree that we need to come to. Humanity has reached a state now where it needs to rise to that degree. And we, from all of humanity, need to be first and to lead. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Nitza Mazoz. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, wish you all the best.
What does slander lead to? Comment. There is a state when a student speaks against a teacher. My response. Then he is not a student. By doing this, he completely cuts himself off from spiritual advancement. Much has been written about this. The most important thing in our movement is simply to idolize the friends, the group, the teacher, and the creator, and to do it more and more at that. How will you advance without this? If someone speaks badly about the teacher, then that is it, he cuts himself off. After all, in spirituality there are no conditions that someone heard something, and someone did not. You have such thoughts, that is it. Nothing else matters. There are many so-called students who attend classes, hang out in different groups, and think badly or speak badly of others. I am very sorry that such events take place because it is useless to deal with them. In the end they will not advance. Question: but can a person get through this state and become aware of it? Or do you think that if he went into such a stupor, he would not come out? Answer: for everything, so to speak, there is forgiveness, but a person must work on himself. It happens to everyone. I am completely calm about this. But he should be aware of what he is controlled by. Comment: you said that it is necessary to remain silent and not interfere with those states of a friend that seem bad to us. My response: you can sometimes point at it in jest or in between words. But in general, no. What is the benefit of that? He must experience all this internally and rethink it. From CabTVs I got a call. To hate the teacher and friends, December 29th, 2012. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what is true freedom in a nutshell? True freedom is freedom from our egoistic nature, where we are enslaved to the desire to enjoy for self-benefit alone in every one of our intentions. When we become freed from our egoistic intention for self-benefit, we attain true freedom. We enter a state of positive connection where we then enjoy benefiting, supporting and caring for each other. Based on the Daily Kabbalah lesson with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on April 26, 2023. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman.